Hey everyone, I really believe that this is a time for the church to rise up. And from my perspective, that's exactly what you're doing. I can't be with you in person, but I hear of your faithfulness and I've seen the fruit of your devotion to Christ and to one another. And so I just want to tell you that I'm proud of you and I'm praying for you. Before we get to the preaching of the word today, I want to do something first that we always do in our services, and that's the offering. And I want to acknowledge from the beginning with this, that this is a difficult time financially for a lot of you. So I want to encourage you to be able to rally as community, to meet each other's needs, to take care of one another, to let your needs be known, and to see the Lord provide in that way. But I also want to call you to continue to give to the church. We've adjusted our budget, and we're helping more people in the church than ever. And at the Hope Center, not only are we continuing to serve meals, but we've been serving almost twice as many meals as normal. We're also supporting a lot of organizations throughout the city that serve the most vulnerable during this time. So if you want to give, the best way to do that, really the only way right now, is to do that through the PushPay app. If you don't have that on your smartphone, then you just go to the App Store, search for PushPay, and then once you download the app, you search for Reality LA. It's pretty easy to set up and to give in that way. And then we will pray that all that the Lord provides, that that would be used for His work and for His glory in this city. All right, if you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it and open up to Matthew chapter 14. We're doing a series right now where we are talking about how our response to this global pandemic is one of faith, hope, and love. And so what we've seen is that we want to have a mentality not of self-preservation, but of self-giving love. We don't need to be a people who are ridden with anxiety because we're filled with hope. And today we're going to talk about how we're driven not by fear, but by faith. And so I'm going to read and preach on Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, and then I'll open our time together in prayer. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is God's word. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that in this time that we would see that you truly are the Son of God. And as we fix our eyes on you amidst all the chaos and confusion in our culture right now, we pray that it would put everything else in perspective. Lord, as your word is preached, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts. God, would you draw the lost to yourself? Would you build up your church in this time? God, we don't want to just see the church survive, but to thrive because we believe that your Spirit is at work in all of this. So God, would you have your way amongst us now? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones was a Welsh medical doctor who became a preacher, and he once said this, "Faith is the refusal to panic." Now, panic is exactly what a lot of people in our culture are doing right now, and that's understandable. There's reason to panic. Sickness is increasing. Hospitals are overflowing. Many people have lost their jobs. A lot of people don't know how they're going to pay rent in the next couple of days, and politicians are disagreeing on the solution to all of this. And this panic then creates a culture of anxiety and fear. But let's be clear. The coronavirus didn't create a culture of anxiety and fear. No, it revealed that culture of anxiety and fear and has heightened it. So as we talk about faith today, Let's remember that this isn't just a response to COVID-19. No, this gets at the deepest longings of the human heart. And so I want to say to you as the church, we don't need to panic because we've got Christ. We can trust that he's accomplishing his purposes. We can trust that he's keeping his promises. We can trust that he's faithful to his people. And so in a society that's dominated by anxiety and fear, I want to call you to look to Christ with faith. And so let's walk through this story that I just read out of Matthew 14 and see how the Word of God gives us direction in our context today as followers of Jesus. Let me just summarize a little bit of what we heard earlier. Jesus sends his disciples in a boat to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then while they're doing that, he goes up on a mountain to pray. And so they're in this boat, they're going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is really a large lake. It's about 4 or 5 miles across. And hours later, the wind is increasing. The waves start beating against the side of the boat. They find themselves in this storm. And not only are they in a storm, but it's the middle of the night. It says that they were in the fourth watch of the night. That would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And so they would have been exhausted, rowing against the waves, tired, in the dark. And I want you to remember that Jesus sent them into this. And I say that because we often think that when times are difficult, that Jesus must have forgotten about us, or he's taking the day off, or he doesn't care. But no, Jesus actually sent them into this storm, and they're being faithful to Christ in the midst of that. So there they are in the storm. But everything changes in this story when Jesus enters into the storm. And listen to their response in verse 26 as Jesus comes to them. It says, "But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear." Now, I want to pause from the story really quick to acknowledge that fear is not a bad emotion. Fear alerts us to the presence of danger or harm. And they were afraid because they didn't know who was in their midst. They thought maybe it was a ghost. But then Jesus speaks to them. And in verse 27, he says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus steps into the storm, and it's as if he says to them, "You're all right. I'm here. Don't panic." Now, this command that he gives them to not be afraid is actually the most common command in all of the scriptures. I mean, there's a lot of commands in the Bible, but why does God constantly command his people, "Do not be afraid, do not fear, take heart"? I think it's because he knows that we are constantly driven by fear. We're driven by the fear of failure, by the fear of abandonment, by the fear of uncertainty. But what I love about scripture is that it doesn't just call us to not be afraid. You'll hear that all the time in our culture. In scripture, it almost always, when it calls us to not be afraid, it gives us a reason why. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. He says, "Don't be afraid." Why? "I'm with you." It reminds me of Psalm 23, where the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." Why? "For you are with me." And so what I want you to notice in this story is that Jesus doesn't take them out of the storm. Jesus enters into the storm with them. And we need to hear that because we always look to Christ to change our circumstances. Things are bad and we pray and we just want him to take us out. And so our faith usually goes up and down with our circumstances. But what we're learning here is that true faith is not based on your circumstances. It's based on your Savior. And he is unchanging. He's faithful. He is with us in the storm. He doesn't just take us out of the situation. He gives us strength to get through it. And we find ourselves today in a cultural storm. You can hear the wind. You can feel the waves beating up against the side of the boat. And many of you are exhausted. And what I want you to hear today is that Jesus enters into the storm that we are in. And he speaks words of grace and mercy to us. He says to you, "You're all right. I'm right here with you. Don't panic." So we need to know that Christ enters into the storm with us. But that's not the end of this story. Look at verses 28 and 29, where we see how Peter then responds. It says in verse 28, Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now what we have here is a picture of faith. And when the Bible talks about faith, it's a much richer and deeper idea than we often have when we think of the word faith. I would define faith like this. It's belief plus trust plus commitment. So think about how this plays out with Peter. He sees something outside of the boat in the storm. He believes something it's there. He thinks maybe it's a ghost, right? But then he speaks to it and he says, "If it's you, Jesus, then command me to come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." So then Peter moves from belief to trust, because faith isn't just believing in something, it's trusting in someone. He hears Jesus' voice and he trusts, but his belief and his trust then lead him to commitment. He doesn't stay in the boat. He steps out and begins to walk to Christ. Now think about how this applies to us in our faith today. Biblical faith is not just believing that God exists. No, even the demons believe and shudder. Biblical faith is believing, but it's also trusting God with our lives and committing to walk with him all of our days. And so look at verse 30. As the story goes on, Peter has stepped out and walking on the water to Jesus. But in verse 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Now, I think this is the key to the whole story. When he saw the wind. So think about it like this. When did Peter start to sink? It's when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to fear the waves rather than focusing on Christ, his Savior. So faith, essentially, is fixing our eyes on Jesus in the midst of the storm, knowing that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. So let me apply this to us. Right now, we're in a storm. So what are you focusing on? We're going to have fear. Like I said before, that's a natural emotion. But the question isn't whether you will have fear. It's, are you focusing on the waves or are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Are you focusing on the problems and the obstacles and everything that could go wrong? Or are you fixing your eyes on Christ and trusting that he is faithful no matter what? And we learn that he is faithful. Look at the rest of the story, picking up in verse 31. It says, after Peter begins sinking and cries out, "Lord, save me," in verse 31, it says, "Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now, Jesus shows that the heart of the matter here is faith. And for Peter, his fear of the situation was greater than his faith in the Savior. And yet, Christ reaches down and rescues him. He rescues him out of the mess that he's gotten himself into because of his lack of faith. And keep going in the story in verse 32, then it says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So think about what we've seen in this story. They went from wondering who Jesus was to being certain of his identity as the Son of God. But it was the storm that led them to that conclusion. And so as we step back from this story, here's what I want you to learn. It's safer to be in the storm with Jesus than it is to be in the boat apart from him. And we want to stay in the boat. Of course, nobody wants to be in the storm. We want security. We want to be in control. We want safety. But Jesus calls us to trust in him. And you think about the situation that we're in right now. I mean, when everything started really making a large impact culturally with the coronavirus, one of the first feelings that I had was that I'm losing control. I don't have control over my calendar anymore. I don't have control over my plans. I'm worried about if I'm going to have control over my finances. And I felt like I'm losing control. But as I look back on that, the control that I thought I had was an illusion to begin with. That if I'm finding control from my calendar or my bank account or from anything like that, That's just an illusion that I'm grasping onto. What we've learned in a hard way through all of this is that we don't really have control like we think that we do. And yet, that's okay. Faith is embracing the fact that I'm not in control and that God is, and that that is a good thing. Now, this story about Jesus entering into the storm comes on his journey to the cross. And by going to the cross, Jesus entered into the storm of all the evil and wickedness and sin of this world. And he didn't just enter into it with us. He died for us. Jesus is the man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. Why? So that we might have the fullness of peace and the complete forgiveness of sins. Do you believe that? That in Christ that you have that today? See, we need faith not only to believe that God is who he says he is, we also need faith to believe that we are who he says we are. So in Christ, you are declared to be forgiven. You are secure. You are a child of God. And what you have in Christ cannot be taken from you by this world. Do you believe that? It takes faith to believe that God says who he says you, that you are who he says you are. And so Jesus entered into their storm and he said, come to me. But what I want you to hear today is that Jesus enters into your storm and he says the same thing to you. Come to me. And so listen, if today you're sinking, if you're sinking in shame, if you're sinking in guilt, if you're sinking in fear and anxiety, cry out, Lord, save me. And he will. Jesus reaches down and he pulls us out and he brings us to himself. And if in the midst of this storm, you're focusing on the waves, you're focusing on everything going wrong or all the potential that of the situation, what I want to call you to do is not to look to the waves, but look to Christ. Fix your eyes on him and to hear his voice saying to you, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, I ultimately want to call you to trust in Jesus, but I also want to get really practical here and talk about how this plays out for us as followers of Jesus in Los Angeles in this pandemic right now. And so we need faith. But we need faith. We need a certain kind of faith, okay? And so first of all, we need faith to lament. So think about it like this. We've gotten through this initial shock of the coronavirus and all the implications of it culturally. We're scrambling in survival mode and we're kind of settling into a new norm right now that we don't know how long it will last. But as you settle into a new norm, what I want to encourage you to do is take the time and create the space to lament. And here's why. We have all experienced an incredible amount of loss during this time. There's unmet expectations. There's a lot of disappointments. There's things in your life that you were really excited about, that you were looking forward to, that have been canceled or postponed. There's relationships that have been strained in all of this. We've all experienced a lot of loss. I know for me personally, I have. There's things that I'm really disappointed about, that I'm bummed, that I'm not going to get to do, that I was looking forward to over the next few months. And the appropriate response to loss is grieving and lament. To be honest with the Lord, to take that to him. And we need to hear this as Christians because sometimes there's a temptation in the church to kind of smooth things over and put a smile on your face and act like everything's okay and pretend that we're just supposed to be positive and maybe slap a Bible verse over that. But let us remember that the Psalms are full of laments. Let us remember that we have a whole book of the Bible named after lamenting. It's called Lamentations. And let's be a people who in this time take our loss and our grief and take it to the Lord, being completely raw and honest with him. Lamenting is not just complaining as if we are entitled. No, the difference between merely complaining and lamenting is faith. That I believe that God is listening. I believe that God cares. I believe that he can take my heart and every emotion that I'm feeling and align it with what I believe and what I know in my mind is true, that God is faithful, that God is with us, that God is at work in all of this. So we need faith to lament. Secondly, we need faith for provision. I know that for many of you right now, you don't know how you're going to pay the bills in the next couple of days as the end of the month draws near. And so you're afraid of that. And so, listen, there's a lot of things that we need to do in this. We need to work as hard as we can. We need wisdom on how to make ends meet. We need community to take care of one another. But above all, what I want to call you to is to trust God to provide. Jesus talked once about when his disciples have anxiety and worry and fear over provision. In Matthew 6, he talks about the disciples asking questions like, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to wear? Very practical needs that they had in day-to-day life. And Jesus responds to them by saying, look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says to his disciples, are you not more valuable than they? Jesus is reminding them of God's care for them and how God will provide for them. And then he says to them what he says to us today in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I want to call you to trust in the Lord, to have the kind of faith that leads to trusting in him for provision. So we need faith to lament. We need faith for provision. And third, we need faith that serves one another. And so when I talk about faith, we're not just talking about this as individuals. There's something deeply communal about the biblical idea of faith. I think about in Mark chapter 2, it tells the story about how four friends bring a paralytic to Jesus. And it says that when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the friends, that he heals the man. And so we learn from this that faith is one of the most important attributes of a friend. And so we need the kind of faith right now that serves one another. I read an article this week by Kurt Thompson. He's a psychiatrist who is also a follower of Jesus, and he's done a lot of research on anxiety. And he says this, the brain is made most anxious, not merely by the presence of a difficult or frightening situation. No, the condition that we ultimately fear is that of being abandoned. There's a lot of anxiety and worry and fear that comes along with isolation. And I want us to be able to hear this as a church. When I hear people talk about staying at home throughout the country and even in a lot of churches, for a lot of people what that means is, well, I get time at home with my family, and that's bonding time. And that's some of us in our church, yes, but most of the people in our church are single. Many people live alone. And so this is a time more than ever where we have to learn to function as family, as the church, to check on each other, to pray for each other, to help each other, to get creative in showing love to one another, knowing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a time more than ever for the church to stand together, even if we're 6 feet apart or only connected digitally. We have to strive for the unity that we have in Christ. We need a faith that leads us to serving one another. Now, let me close by telling you one of my favorite stories. It's a story about a successful professor. He was an ethicist. His name is John Kavanaugh. He actually taught about medical ethics, and he was very accomplished throughout his career. He published a ton. He had all the accolades. He had the kind of reputation that scholars strive for. But at the end of his career, he felt empty, and he didn't know what to do with the rest of his life. He had no clarity on what he should be doing. And so he thought the person to go to who seems to have all the clarity and lots of purpose in their life was Mother Teresa. And he thought, if I could just talk to Mother Teresa, then maybe I would have the kind of clarity that she has. So he literally gets on a plane, flies to India, finds Mother Teresa. And when he gets to her, she asks him, what can I do for you? And so he says, I want you to pray for me. And he specifically asks, would you pray that I would have clarity? And if you're like me, then you've prayed this this prayer yourself many a time, that, Lord, what do you want me to do? God, if you would just give me clarity. And so that was his mindset. And he asked Mother Teresa, would you pray that I have clarity? And sweet Mother Teresa looks him in the eye and says, no, I will not do that. And baffled, he asks her why. And she said this, because what you need is trust, not clarity. And she went on to say to him, I never had clarity. I had trust, and I trusted God with my life. And because I trusted him, I was free to give my life away. And we can identify with that, right? In this time of uncertainty, we feel like if I just had clarity, if I just knew when this would be over, if I just knew how I was going to get this done, if I just knew how this was going to play out, then I would be able to walk in faithfulness. But listen, you think that you need clarity from God, but what you really need is trust in God. And what I want you to hear today is this: God is worthy of all of our trust. My question for you is not, how much faith do you have? It's, do you see how trustworthy Christ is? Because if you just obsess over your own faith, it actually begins to dwindle. But when you look to Jesus, your faith begins to swell. So church, in the midst of everything that's going on right now, don't panic. Look to Christ and keep your eyes fixed on him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are worthy of all of our trust. We thank you that we can look to the cross and know that you will never let us down, that you will keep every promise that you have made, and that you are with us in this storm that we find ourselves in today. We pray that you would grant us and cultivate within us the kind of faith that can lament, that can be honest with you with what we're going through right now and the loss that we've experienced. We pray, Lord, that we would have the kind of faith to cry out to you asking for provision. And God, would you provide for the needs of your people in all of this? And God, would you give us the kind of faith that serves one another? Teach us to be family. Teach us to love one another in this time in a way that's different than we ever have. God, we need you and we need one another. And so we pray that your Spirit would do this work within us, not for our glory, not for our comfort and for our safety, but for your glory and for the work that you're doing throughout this city. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.